God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is based off of our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, actually the first section, as we have a woman who is pleading with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for healing for her daughter. Her daughter who has an unclean spirit. The title of this message is called Feeding the Dogs, and that's coming from Jesus' own words, where he says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." This is our text. I love to tease my mother about a particular story. It's a true story, and she was in the early service, so you can ask the people who went to the early service. She fessed up to it, and I wasn't stretching the truth either. She is an animal lover, and fair enough, there's nothing wrong with being an animal lover, and she takes a great deal of care for her animals, typically the dogs, over the years. So the story goes like this. While I was at seminary, she graciously decided to drive down from Chicago to St. Louis to visit us. Nothing wrong with that. And she continued that gracious invitation by taking my wife Elizabeth and I out to dinner. Nothing wrong with that either. My mom, while she was at the restaurant, ordered steak and shrimp, in which she ate the shrimp. And then her dog, of course, was with her in the car, took the steak to the dog. I teased my mom. I said, "Wow, the dog eats better than I do, better than her only begotten child." Now, to be fair, while I was being raised, I never starved. There was always food on the table. But it's just one of those funny and true stories that happens to fit very well with today's text. Feeding the dog. Taking a look at how Christ is now feeding us. So we take a look at Jesus' response here. He says to this woman who is begging for grace, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, we might think Jesus' words here are a little bit out of character. It was only in the previous chapter, chapter 6, where you have the feeding of the 5,000. This huge crowd being fed with a few loaves of bread. And now it almost seems like Jesus is apparently refusing to feed a woman by giving grace so that her little girl can be healed. What is Jesus trying to teach? Well, first of all, there is plenty of bread for all. But you need to know that you don't deserve it. Why don't you deserve it? You may remember last week's message. It's not what you put into the mouth, into the body, that defiles a person, but what comes out. That's the important part. And if we pick up last week's message, very clearly, we are sinners in need of God's grace. So we take a look at Jesus' words here. Jesus' first line, "Let the children be fed first." Strangely enough, this is not in Matthew's account of this. But Jesus is stating very clearly that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Fair enough. God gave this command to Abraham. "I will be your God, you will be my people, follow me." And so you have the whole people of Israel trusting on God's promise, most of the time. This is also consistent, as Paul brings this up in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Greek." So this was the priority back then, and is also the priority in one essence for today. God's chosen people, as indicated by Scripture. And it's a little humbling for those of us, including me, whose ancestry is not Jewish, to realize that we also are included by God's amazing grace. We don't even deserve the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. But yet, that same Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, invites us to come and to eat that grace, to come to partake of Him, talk about a very strong gospel message. But the second line of Jesus says, for it is not right. Another way of translating, it's not fair, it's not moral to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That's why with my story about my mother, I had to sit there and clarify, I never starved when I was growing up. And it's very wonderful and gracious of my mom to very well take care of her dogs. And sometimes her child is a little envious, but of course I was not deprived. I was well fed then, and I'm definitely well fed now. But getting back to this moral sort of implication here, who would ever want to deprive children food just for the sake that the animals would eat? Who would ever disagree? Fair enough, I may tease my mom, but I also know better. So let's take a look at this passage now from a little bit of a different viewpoint. And I will admit, I probably have preached on this passage a few times, probably done it for some Bible studies, and I will admit, until my studying for this passage for today, this sermon, I completely missed something. And that's the word dog. Now, I will admit, because as I was looking more into this, you see, there are two different Greek words that could be translated as dog. And so it could be one of two types. The first is the wild dog. You know, things like wolves, the big, huge dogs that would travel in packs. And these typically were driven off by the community. Why? Because the pack of dogs would come and ravage the community, sort of in their quest for surviving, would take advantage of others. And Jesus even says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and attack you. And picking up from Exodus in the Old Testament, there's a beautiful parallel here about common food, or I should say sacred food versus unsacred food. In Exodus chapter 22, it says, you shall be consecrated to me. Therefore, you shall not eat of any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Please notice that this food was considered to be unclean, and so it was not even fit for the Jewish people, the people of God, to consume and eat, so in turn, they just threw it to the wild dogs. As the sacred food was intended for the people of Israel and not for the dogs. So also keep that in mind. The Torah, the Old Testament, which we would call it, was intended to be given to God's chosen people, but not to the Gentiles. But this woman here is asking for crumbs. She's asking for grace, she's asking for God's word, and she's not Jewish. That's the dilemma. Fortunately for us, the Greek gives us a little bit of an insight here to answer the dilemma. The Greek word that Jesus uses for dog here is not referring to the wild dog, but referring to a, quote, little dog. Not necessarily denoting size, but denoting a relationship. Because the little dog was considered to be the household pet. Not the wild dogs running around in packs and groups, devouring, being chased off by humans, but the pet dog being loved and cherished. And how many of you have dogs or have animals and have pets and you consider those pets part of your family? Now you're in connection with what the Greek word of our text for today is talking about. And why is this important? Fair enough, the people of Israel were considered to be the, quote, biological children of Jesus. But now Jesus is sort of introducing another concept here. At least, for the time being, it was a new concept for us. We understand it, that outsiders, Gentiles, could be adopted. And so it is, we also are adopted into God's family through holy baptism. We were once outside the family of God, sinners, not touched by God's grace, until God touches us first with water and his holy word. Picking up from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. This is now a grace message. Jesus calls this woman sort of a pet dog, so to speak. And now is the implication that grace is going to be given. But here comes the tug for us in our own lives. Because we have our own sinful flesh. We have this struggle still within us. We are not perfect. And so what do we struggle in our lives that this text can help us with? Well, going back to this difference between the wild dog and the pet dog. Dogs who are pets are usually very, very loyal, very protective of their master, very friendly, usually welcoming. The wild dogs, however, are usually focused upon survival, have no ownership, very competitive, and destructive. So taking a look at you and your life today, which kind of dog would you compare yourself to? The nice, all-loving, all-forgiving golden retriever? Or the ravaging wolf traveling around in packs looking for someone to devour? Fair enough, we know the cliches, pets are people too. And sometimes we even have another cliche, the more I know about people, the more I love my pet. Does not necessarily give us a good feeling about us as human beings. So do we usually see other people also as God's creation? Or do we despise other people? How many times in our lives have words come out of our mouth in forms of verbal attacks? How many times have I seen emails attacking people based on politics, based upon race, based upon income? It almost seems like we are that vicious pack of dogs. We don't necessarily see all people as loved and cherished by God, regardless of age, regardless of income, regardless of background, as our epistle reading from James was bringing up. Very often we live in this dog-eat-dog world, and instead we are snarling and gnashing at each other, feeding on the attacks of the flesh of others to give us strength. Doesn't sound like a nice pet dog to me. And we, as that, quote, top dog, need to remember that the top dog has no equals, not even to God. So we have to ask, what does God say about all this? In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Is that part of your vocabulary and your idea? Or is it a lot easier to shred someone to pieces? Maybe not physically, but verbally. So now let's take a look at the woman's response here. Whatever Jesus might have meant as he said these words, we notice how they were received. The woman apparently agrees very quickly with this statement, "You are a dog." And in one essence, that's the beautiful way to diffuse any type of criticism. Agree with the critic. You're right. I'm a dog. She could be saying, I'm a dog, even though dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And I don't deserve those crumbs. I'm still asking. I know I'm no better than a dog, but even dogs almost receive better treatment than we treat other people. So maybe she's implying, can't you spare a few crumbs of grace? I'm not asking for myself, but for my daughter. Based on observations, based of what we know of the culture and the time, this was completely unfair. This was sort of like taking the children's food and tossing it to the animals. But pet dogs do get to eat what belongs to the children. It's an interesting parallel here. For those of you who are pet owners, think for a moment. How much does it cost to take a pet to the vet? Okay? And how much does it cost for all the special food and the treatments and so forth? We spend thousands of dollars on our dog's health. But yet there are people in this community who receive no medical care at all. And you know what she is asking here? That same sort of unfairness might happen to her. The only place, a little bit of an interesting note here, that the word table is used in the Gospel of Mark is when Jesus turns the table upside down in the temple. Jesus is now doing the same thing here. Turns the table upside down and says, yes, you who are outside, you who don't deserve God's grace, are now going to get it. Whereas the ones who, quote unquote, were part of God's chosen people, who now are shunning Jesus, now not wanting to listen to Jesus, who are now focused upon themselves, now almost find themselves outside of God's grace. Interesting table turn here. So now what about you? And what kind of dog are you? Have we come here today with the words of our confession, I, a poor, miserable sinner? Did we really mean it? Have we really seen how many times we've shredded others with our words, with our emails, with our actions, how we've torn them apart? Have we really come knowing that we really don't deserve anything from God? Not even the blessings of our house, our home, our family, our jobs, our careers, whatever. We don't deserve a single crumb of God but death and damnation. But yet God still gives us grace. And now here's the real kicker. Are you ready, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to amend and change our sinful ways? Are we now ready to look at other people not as wild dogs, but as truly loved and cherished by God? Then come. As we have torn into the flesh of others by our thoughts, words, and deeds, we now come, seeking a forgiveness that we don't deserve, but one that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died and freely gives. He is the one who died on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, so that those who believe and trust in Him have eternal life. Notice it's not by your doing. It's not by you tearing into the flesh of others that gets you eternal life. But it's by the nail marks that tore into the flesh of our Savior. So I'm going to ask you to tear into His flesh. Not here on the cross, but on the table. His flesh with that bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the same type of viciousness, but knowing that in His flesh we do have forgiveness of sins. So we tear into His flesh with the same eagerness, not claiming to be the victorious alpha male of the wolf pack, but being the pet dog, receiving the crumbs of grace that fall from the Master's table. It is that grace that feeds us, because it is Christ Jesus who feeds us with His own word that is proclaimed in His own body and blood, even though we do not deserve it. You see, through baptism He called us into a new relationship. Once we were wild dogs, but through baptism we are now the pet dog, loved, cherished, and fed by our Savior, a change that only water and God's word can do. Now we belong to Him, and now you are fed. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 54, whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Yes, Christ Jesus feeds the dogs. For this we are thankful. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.